Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during this session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I'd now like to hand the conference over to you for our speaker today, to Mr. Glenn Willis. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to the results presentation call for Elanor Investors Group for the year ending 30 June 2019. I'm joined here with my leadership team, who will be pleased to answer questions in the question and answer part of the presentation at the end of my brief overview. Again, thank you for joining the call, and thank you for your interest in Elanor Investors Group. I guess to sum up the year that was, we're pleased with the achievements of last year, particularly in the growth in our funds under management and the revenues that have been generated from the funds management business. Also, I'm pleased with the growth in the capability of our investment management and asset management platform. Over the course of the year, we've invested significantly in our funds management and asset management platform, particularly in attracting and recruiting senior leadership talent to the business. Against a year that we invested strongly in talent for the business, we've still been able to grow earnings for the business over the period. Indeed, growing core earnings by 8%, with a modest increase in core earnings. I'm pleased with the growth in earnings against the investments made in the funds management business over the course of the year. Pretty pleased with the increase in recurring funds management fees, and the over 24% increase in recurring funds management fee rate on a period-on-period basis. That's obviously the key objective for the business, as most of you will know, will be to grow our funds management, funds under management, and our fee income from that business. Growing the recurring management fees of over 24% is pleasing. Having said that, we continue to focus on growing our performance fees and our gains on sale. As we grow the business, we believe that gains on sales, and particularly performance fees, will become much more consistent and a much more consistent part of our broader revenue for the business. NTA decreased modestly, as we see in the presentation. That's predominantly due to the establishment and transaction costs that are incurred and written off upfront in the establishment of new funds. Gearing at 28%, or just over 28%, we believe is conservative for a business of our like. We note there that if we look at the secured gearing ratio, it's very modest when we look at it separately from the corporate notes. The corporate notes, we believe, are a very good part of our capital structure, and a very efficient part of our capital structure. All in all, over the course of the year, in summary, we've invested strongly in building out our funds management and asset management capability, particularly our people, and we're pleased with how we're positioned. We're very pleased with how we're positioned with our capability for growth for the business. We're pleased with the growth in the funds under management over the period. If we turn to the strategy and business overview, that's on page six of the pack that was distributed this morning. We put this slide in each half to summarize our broader funds management strategy. This has remained very consistent as it should do from the outset of the business at listing in July 2014. It's remained very consistent, save for two important changes that I'd like to highlight. I'll come to those shortly. But our broadest strategic objective is to grow funds under management. An important subset of that is to deliver strong returns for our capital partners. We are firmly of the view that if we continue to deliver strong returns for our investors and our funds, and we have done over a long period of time now, that will enable us and enable us to grow our funds under management, and of course that will enable us to increase our returns to our security holders. One of the key changes to the strategy since inception back in July 2014, we're now in a position to adopt a much more capital light approach to building our funds management business. At the outset of Elanor back in 2014, we were very clear to say that we believe we'll be able to grow funds under management if we've got strong alignment between Elanor and its investment partners. And that has been a very important enabler to our growth, to be able to co-invest in our funds with our investors and capital partners. Where we now find ourselves after 5 years of delivering very strong investment performance, and we've just by way of what that performance looks like, we've delivered a realised return on our funds of over 18% for our capital partners. That's a we believe that it's a very strong return, and that's a particularly strong return given the investments and the assets that we invest in. We, as you know, we invest in very strong cash flow assets, cash flow real estate assets, and as such, we believe the having achieved the investment performance that we have done with what we believe are lower risk real estate assets, that provides for a very strong risk-adjusted return. So getting back to the capital light approach, we believe going forward that our requirement to invest in our funds to the degree that we have done in the past will be less, and that will enable us to grow our funds under management in a much more capital light manner. And obviously in doing so, that will result in, we believe, stronger growth in earnings per share and security holder value. That's a first key shift to our strategy that we've had consistently, as I said, since July 2014. We continue to invest in the sectors described here, in hotels, tourism, leisure, in office, and in retail. And as we say, we continue to look at and look for new sectors to participate in. We continue to assess the opportunities to build out our funds management platform in other sectors. A key requirement there is to have the capability, and we wouldn't at all invest in new sectors without having what we believe to be market-leading capability, the same market-leading capability that we have in the other three sectors in which we participate in and establish funds in. The second key shift, if you like, to our broader strategy since inception is the focus on a capital-led growth strategy. Some of you may recall when we listed the business back in July 2014, we said we will grow Elanor if we're able to continue to find and identify and originate great real estate investments, and that very much is the case. So that asset-led growth strategy has been the key plank to our focus over the last 5 years. Over the last 12 months, we've complemented that asset-led growth strategy with a capital-led growth strategy. In other words, we've invested resources, significant resources, in identifying investment partners to enable us to grow our business. and that the focus there is particularly on institutional investors and more particularly on global offshore institutional investors. We've had good success over the last 12 months in building out into that segment, and we continue to do so and invest resource in our capital-led growth strategy, and we are very pleased with the prospect that we have in regard. The page capital-led the particular institutional part of the four new funds of the year as a result of that. And the key point that I'd like to make here is that we have significant in regard to the capital partners that are seeking to partner with us in investing in our funds and new fund strategies. So we are very very positive about our ability to grow our funds under management with offshore institutional capital partners to complement the growing base of domestic more family office and private investors. In terms of the execution of the growth in funds under management, as I mentioned before, we've very pleasing is the 24% increase in the recurring management fees run rate year on year, and over the course of the year, we're also pleased with the establishment of over $450 million of new funds. Again, I'd like to reiterate there a key ingredient to the success and the growth of our funds management business comes from the achievement of the return of over 18% on realised funds since Eleanor was listed back in July 2014. We believe we're very proud of that return, and we're very focused on maintaining a very, very strong investment return. We believe that's exceptionally important to growing funds under management and also to delivering security holder value for E&N investors. Turning to page 8, we provide this again every half. This bar chart that shows the growth that we've had since July 2014, and in a compound annual growth rate, that's a good growth rate. It's over a 50% compound growth rate. We quickly acknowledge it's from a very, very low base, so that's just a mathematical result. That mathematical result is one that I guess underpins our ambitions for the business. Most of you know that we have ambitions to grow Eleanor into a major ASX listed real estate investment management business. And from July 2014 to now, we've grown funds under management 8 base back in July 2014. If we achieve the same growth rate over the next 5 years, that will then get us into the realm of being a major in terms of scale, a major real estate funds management business. And I table that so that all can understand what our ambitions are. Our ambitions are robust. We've got very clear growth ambitions for Eleanor. We've got a fantastic real estate platform that we are establishing, and we believe that we're very well positioned to grow funds under management at the rate that we talk about here. Turning to page 9. Again, we are very focused on growing the recurring management fee stream. We understand acutely, as all of you do, that's a That's a very valuable part of the business, recurring management fees, and we're pleased that we've had that that 24% increase on a run rate basis year on year. And again, that's whilst that's a very strong focus of ours to grow the recurring management fees, we also are firmly of the view that performance fees and gains on sale will play a much more consistent part of our revenue for Elanor as we grow and establish more funds. Now, if we turn to page 10, that again we provide that every half, and that just provides investors with a an understanding of where our funds and managed funds are, and also where our investments portfolio is, including our co-investments. Page 11, we are well positioned in regard to having capital availability to facilitate our growth. With the proceeds that we will receive from the Maryland sale, with the capital recycling initiatives that we have in progress at the moment, provides us in the order of $60 million of capital to invest in growing our funds management business. And as we state here, if we come and invest at a level of 10%, that will enable us to grow our funds under management to over $2.5 billion. It also exemplifies the capital light growth opportunity and indeed capital light growth strategy that is well and truly at hand within the business. As I said earlier, we firmly have the view that we'll be able to grow our funds under management with lesser amounts of co-investments, given the strong performance we've achieved over the last 5 years. I'll hand it over to Paul Sivian, our COO, to take us through the financial results and the segment performance.
Thank you, Glenn. Can I refer those on the call to page 13 of the investor presentation that we released earlier today? That's a summarised adjusted profit loss, which shows that our adjusted group profit after income tax for the year was $17.6 million. And that's an increase of 7.9% on the FY18 result. I just remind those listening that the adjusted group results account for our investments in the Elanor Metro and Prime Regional Hotel Fund, Bluewater Square Syndicate and Auburn Office Syndicate on an equity accounted, not consolidated basis. Our statutory results show those results on a consolidated basis, which we don't regard as the most appropriate method of presentation. And that's, of course, because their funds, like all of our other managed funds that we have levels of co-investment in, they're not group assets. Particularly important is the funds management contribution to that earnings before interest and tax and also profit after tax of $12.1 million. That EBITDA showed an increase of 14% on the prior year. As Glenn mentioned, within that profit number are our recurring funds management fees. And because of taking into account the full year run rate of managed funds established during the year, our run rate of recurring fees at the end of the current year at 30 June 2019 was $11.3 million. And that compared with $9.1 million at the start of the year, a 24% increase which will flow through on a full year run rate basis to our results in FY20. Also relevant for investors is the funds management EBITDA less our unallocated corporate costs. We are a funds manager and investor, and that's a method that we know investors look at to consider the growth and the value of our funds management business. That net EBITDA is now $5 million, and we can expect that to grow further, even merely because of the run rate of recurring fees that I've mentioned before. The core earnings for the year of $17.5 million includes the net profit after tax on the sale of Merrylands that hadn't been previously reported of $5.9 million. We've also announced, though, the establishment of the Elanor Luxury Hotel Fund. That fund will be established in October. The fund will include Cradle Mountain Lodge and will generate quite a profit on the sale of Cradle Mountain into that lodge, both in the respective investors in Elanor Metro and Prime Regional Hotel Fund, but obviously also for Elanor in the context of its co-investment. The earnings from that new funds management initiative will be included in the first half of FY20. Turning to page 14, the adjusted balance sheet prepared on precisely the same basis as the profit and loss, that is, with all of our funds under management equity accounted, shows net assets at the end of the year of $159 million. That's an increase during the year from $153. Importantly, the shape of our balance sheet, the shape of our profit loss, is becoming increasingly very much pure funds management and investment. We have two remaining assets on the balance sheet, which are shown as part of property, plant and equipment, $46 million out of $258 million of total assets. And these are assets that we would expect to be externalised into Elanor managed funds in the future. Glenn mentioned earlier that our interest-bearing debt remains conservative at $83.5 million, or a gearing level of 28%. The majority of our interest-bearing debt are five-year unsecured corporate notes, which perhaps can be viewed sort of more mid-stack in the context of a capital structure from equity down to debt. Our corporate secured debt facility is a revolving $30 million debt facility. Turning now to the segment performance, page 16 of the investor presentation, if you have that with you. This page merely shows the adjustment from our adjusted group EBITDA to core earnings for each of our segments. The adjustment relates to one item, and that is the removal of the equity accounted result from our funds under management and the inclusion of the distributions that we receive or receivable from those funds. Those that have listened to a number of our calls and invested with us will know that in our core earnings, what we include is the cash that we've received from our investments in those underlying funds, and that's what's passed through as part of our distributions to our investors. This page simply makes that calculation, and those numbers are incorporated then within the individual segment performance. Page 17 shows the segment performance for our funds management business. The EBITDA contribution to core earnings is $12.1 million, up 14% from $10.6 million. It's important also to see an improvement in our margin, and we would expect that to continue, notwithstanding the fact that we continue to invest in our senior management capabilities in the context of both building institutional capital partnerships, but also origination and asset management. Net growth in funds under management for the year was $304 million after adjusting for the sale of the Bell City assets in July 2018. We established five new managed funds during the year. They're listed for you. And those new managed funds contributed $455 million of new funds under management at the end of the year. The Elanor Retail Property Fund, there'll be an investor call on that at 11 o'clock today, showed strong gross asset value increases during the year from 326 to 341, and that was reflective of asset revaluations, most notably Auburn Central. The funds management business is, of course, our key strategic focus. The platform is highly scalable. We look forward to continued growth, and we also look forward to continuing to invest in it. Our hotels, tourism and leisure segment results are shown on page 18. The EBITDA contribution shows a modest decrease from $7.7 million to $6.4 million. That relates to two matters in particular. One is that for the prior year, uh, the business owned hotels Iverstyle, Canberra, Eaglehawk on balance sheet for the first 4 months of the year, and therefore the full results of that investment were incorporated in our FY18 result. That asset was externalised into our Elanor Metro and Prime Regional Hotel Fund at that time. And in addition, importantly during the year, we have reduced our co-investment in the Elanor Metro and Prime Regional Hotel Fund from $53 million to $30 million. Well, the $53 million, excuse me, was the carrying value of investments at the end of last year. It also included Bell City, but we had significantly reduced the investment in the Metro and Prime Regional Hotel Fund as a result of the strategic partnership with NRMA, who invested in that fund earlier in this year. Turning to our real estate segment on page 19, EBITDA contribution shows an increase from $2 million to $2.4 million. That reflects $4.8 million of distributions from our co-investments in real estate funds that are also shown on that page. the carrying value of our co-investments in real estate funds increased considerably during the year with the establishment of our new funds of Waverley Gardens and Fairfield Centre most particularly, and that therefore means that is not a full run rate number. We'd expect improvement in that notwithstanding growth in that area of our business. I'll pass back to Glenn for his comments on our strategy and outlook.
Thank you, Paul. Again, if we reflect upon the year that was, we are pleased with the growth in our funds under management and the nature of our income that's generated from funds under management. I'm also particularly pleased with the strengthening of our funds management and asset management platform, particularly from the investments and the attracting key leadership talent to the business. I believe it places us very well to grow Elanor, to achieve on our objective of building the business into a major listed real estate funds management business, and I'm pleased that we have the ability to grow the business in a much more capital light manner on the back of very strong investment performance and fund returns that we've delivered to our capital partners over the last 5 years. All that being said, that I believe means we're well positioned to grow security holder value for E&N investors. The capability coupled with the prospect we have in terms of the establishment of new funds, and also the prospect we have in attracting capital partners to invest in our funds. Those two key factors combined, again, I believe positions us very, very well to grow the business and most importantly deliver security holder value for Elanor investors and Elanor security holders. So thank you again for attending this call and for your interest in E&N, and I look forward to receiving questions, and we'll hand over to the operator now to do so.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1. The next questionnaire is from William from ORD Minute. Please ask your question, William.
Hi, guys. Thanks for your time today. I just want to ask a few questions around the management fees. Just want to confirm that the run rate of recurring management funds management fees that you're talking about is just management fees, and does that also include, you know, forecast cost recoveries? And is that just over the base of that 1.38 bill?
Yes, Will. Thanks for the question. The recurring management fees relate to our base asset management fee, plus the cost recoveries that we are entitled to from the provision of various services to those funds. accounting, etc. Doesn't include any forecast acquisition fees. It doesn't include any forecast increase in fees. It's purely off the back of the funds under management we've reported at the end of the year.
Okay, great. So then looking sort of back, so if you just take the raw base and the management fees that you did over FY19 and applied over the assets under management you had, it implied compression, but I understand that there's also timing differences and so on, and potentially a contribution of institutional capital and so on. Can you just talk a little bit around the composition of those management fees over the year, including potentially those things that are stated?
Well, the best place to go is page 9, where you can see in the final two columns of the bar chart that our management fees for the first half were $4.7 million, and our management fees for the second half were $5.3 million, therefore $10 million. In the first half of the year, it included 1 month's management fees in respect of the Bell City assets. So if you deduct that off, you get back to $9.1 million, and that number is the comparable number to the recurring management fees, recurring management fees going forward of $11.3 million.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. And then also just looking forward, given your new focus stronger focus, I suppose, on institutional capital, what do you think the outlook would be for management fees? Presumably that comes down a fair bit. Do you have an idea on fee structure for those kinds of partners?
Are you referring to the fee card or the gross fees?
The fee card is sort of what I'm interested in. How that changes.
Yep. The fee structure for larger funds and for larger capital investors is different to the more private capital investor funds. Having said that, they are larger funds, and importantly, the return on for us as for Elanor is we believe is greater because we're dealing in larger investments and larger funds, albeit the management fee per se will be lower than a traditional 1% ongoing management fee that we charge in a domestic private capital fund.
Okay, understood. Thanks.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's Star One, but our next question is from Edward Day from Moelis. Please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. Paul, this might be one for you, just on slide 11 with your capital management and recycling of co-investment capital. Can you just talk through the process and sort of how you see that unfolding? Is that an ongoing process throughout the year, or do you have specific initiatives in mind?
It's Glenn. Ed? No, it'll be ongoing. Having said that, we are always looking at our co-investments and also the potential for new investors to come into those funds. So that recycling of co-investment capital is based on our program over the course of the year, and it supports our firm belief that we'll be able to grow our funds under management in a much more capital-light manner going forward, which was one, a function of recycling our existing co-investments, but also having a requirement for a lower amount of co-investment in the establishment of new funds going forward.
And Glenn, if I may, I'll just add one small thing to that, and that is that the $31 million on that slide, I think people are very familiar with the $29 million sale proceeds from Marylands. That's funds that are due on the 30th of September. The $31 million does relate to particular initiatives that we have in relation to the sell down of particular funds, and still leaves us generally with a co-investment in those funds of around 15%. So there's certainly opportunities for further sell down, as Glenn mentioned.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks. And Glenn, maybe could you just talk about the sort of acquisition opportunity pipeline? What's a sort of reasonable target for new FUM for sort of FY20 and maybe 21?
Yeah, look, won't put a target on it, but suffice to say that in our hotels, tourism, leisure division, and in our retail division, we have very strong work in progress and prospect. And furthermore, in our office division, we have very good work in progress. It's a more competitive sector than the other two sectors from our perspective. But across the three sectors in which we focus on, we have in two of the sectors we have very strong work in progress and prospect, and we're also pleased with the level of prospect in our office division and the funds that we are working on in that area as well. Don't want to be drawn on a target, but we'll keep it general by saying that we are positive about both our work in progress and new funds in pipeline and our prospect across the business.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a telephone question. There's no more further questions from the telephone lines. I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for attending this call and for your interest in Elanor Investors Group. We're pleased to provide you with this update and to give you a sense of how we feel about the business in light of our broader growth ambitions, our broader robust growth ambitions. I'd like this opportunity to thank my team, both the leadership team and the entire team across the business for their efforts and particularly for their enthusiasm for Elanor and for the endeavour to achieve on our broader growth objectives for the group. Thank you again, and we look forward to seeing you and speaking in 6 months' time. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Goodbye.